pleased to be joined by our friend, former NFL general manager, author, broadcaster, man about town, Upton Bell joins us. Upton, good afternoon.
How about adding coach to it, too, since everybody's getting fired?
Right.
So, I mean, if Josh McDaniels can screw the Colts, why can't I screw somebody? You know, it's good afternoon to you guys. Happy New Year.
I'm surprised you're available. I thought for sure you'd be in the Situation Room for that big meeting this afternoon.
Well, I was held out for reasons that Trump can explain, and of course, when he gets through with his picture taking, they'll let me back in the room.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous! Well, hey, let's begin by talking a little bit of Patriots football. They got their bye. They certainly look good against the lowly Buffalo Bills. But is this team on the decline from your perspective?
I think it's been on the decline for the last couple of years. And again, I hate to go back to my original thought, which was, even though it would have cost them a small fortune and made Garoppolo unhappy for a year or so, I don't think the Patriots have protected themselves. And while everything today, as we know, is 24/7 and the news cycle is every 30 seconds, the bottom line is this. Even if they get to the Super Bowl, and I have grave doubts about it, but no matter what they do, the stark thing is come next year and the years after that, they're back to being the mediocrity of the rest of the NFL. I mean, they'll have Belichick, I assume. Who knows? Brady will be back, but I have to tell you that he has slipped. Put aside some of the things, and it's still a slippage. He's still probably in the top 5 or 10 quarterbacks, and that tells you where the league is going.
But they're in an awful bind now because there's nobody there that's the logical successor, and that means they'll have to go and find something in the draft, and I don't know who that person is.
Well, that's why you try to keep owners out of the football business. Although today, they all want to be in the business, and as you can see with the 8 coaches being fired, that I put the blame mainly on the owners, who continue, like the Jet owner, but continue to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and the same way as Miami. But you know, again, when you really look at it. Look at the winning organizations, and this certainly has been, for the last 18 years, an incredible run. You'll never see it again, but you'll never see, I hate to say it again, the tomato cans that they played in this division, albeit, you know, Brady and Belichick will go down as two of the greatest of all time. But I always remember, and I'm going back almost 40 years, the first lesson I learned, and that was, you move the player a year or two before he begins to slip. Because, A, if you don't, you won't get value for him. Or, B, you're putting off your future if you don't do that. And it, you know what? It's easy to fall in love with a player. It's easy to fall in love with Brady. He's been very dedicated until this last year to the game and of course, you have to be totally selfish to be that good, which Brady has been. And he's been totally selfish up to the last year about making sure that he was the best. But you know what? I don't care how many pillows he sells, the sleeping stuff that he uses, the pajamas, and all of that other crap that he deals with. The bottom line is he is still a 41-year-old quarterback. And what happens, no matter how good you are, as far as your conditioning is concerned, the stretching you get from Guerrero, all of that, other meals and everything else, there's one thing that I did learn is that if you watch closely, and I learned this lesson again a long time ago, as a quarterback ages, and I saw, in my opinion, the greatest. He and John Unitas and Brady are the two best I've ever seen. But the first thing that begins to go as you age. Now, remember, when Unitas was the quarterback, you got hit on every play. Brady would not be playing if he played in that era or even into the early 2000s. He just wouldn't be because the rules have changed, so you would be hit on every play. Think about that. But the first thing that goes is the awareness in the pocket of where people are coming from, that great peripheral vision that very few have, like Brady has or Unitas had or Marino or Elway, you name them, Manning, that begins to slip. Put aside the arm. And Brady's never had a great arm. He just is so accurate and so smart. But if you look at the last two or three games, you'll see him bailing out in situations that he wouldn't have bailed out before. That's understandable. He's taken beatings for 18 and now going into his 19th year. So that's understandable. But the awareness in the pocket and the idea that you are maybe you should bail a little bit early or you see that person coming but not quite as quickly as you used to, that I have noticed. The other thing that I have noticed, and it's hard to tell because the last 2 weeks they have played, I mean, horrific team. If they could make it in the, if they could beat Bowden, those two teams, the Jets and the Bills, I think Bowden would beat both of them. But the thing is that even in those games, if you watch passes underthrown, passes overthrown, people wide open being missed in the end zone, go back a little bit further, forgetting to call a timeout down at the end of the first half. All of these things are just little signals. And I'll bet Belichick notices. And that's my belief is that 2 years ago, Belichick, who, you know, the reason you want him as a coach, you might not want to interview him. You might not want to know him. But a coach who has no feeling except for winning, which is what essentially you want in the pros, I believe that he began to recognize this 2 years ago, and that's why this whole fallout, that if Belichick had had his way, Garoppolo would have been here, and they would have begun to move Brady out. It would have been really difficult, but I believe that that's what the story was, that Belichick sees these players every day. They tape everything that they do. And I can remember even back in Baltimore that after practice, we go back in those days, it wasn't tape, it was film. They'd film every practice. So you could see what a player was doing and you could critique it. And I believe that Belichick began to see that slippage. And that's where this whole problem occurred.
Upton, you mentioned some of the coach firings, and this, I think, has become almost epidemic now that coaches have become scapegoats for poor ownership, poor management. You look at the situation in Denver with John Elway, who gave Vance Joseph no talent to work with out there. Is it bad for the league to see guys in there for a couple of years and then getting dismissed and new people coming in?
First and foremost, the league could care less, and that's what you have to wake up to. Here's the only two things that the league cares about: ratings and how well you're perceived on television. And this year in particular, the ratings have been really good. There have been some terrific games on, even on Thursday night. So they might give lip service, particularly the Fritz Pollard, one of the people that was involved in the black coaches, African Americans being part of the Rooney Rule, was he upset because mostly all of the African American coaches were part of that group that was fired, and he said no, this in some ways is part of the game, but you have hit on a couple of things here. One, the the owners used to be, and you know, in interviewing John Eisenberg on his terrific book on the NFL, is that he, I'm sure, would tell you during the interview or anybody else like that, the owners that he's writing about, including my father, and the owners today are totally different. They didn't want to be seen on television. They didn't want to be making any pronouncements. They hired the general manager and the coach to do it. Now it's the opposite. And these owners, particularly, let's just take a look at this division here. I know people hate to hear it, that you know, the famous line from Dan Shaughnessy, tomato cans. But look at the division. Name outside of Rex Ryan a couple of years, name anybody that challenged as a coach the Patriots. Mm. Name anybody as a quarterback that challenged the Patriots. But I can name you a lot of coaches that have been fired. And the reason that a lot of them have been fired is that they have not, most of these teams, drafted well or found a quarterback or coached well enough. So you're going to get that. I took the Woody Johnson a couple of years ago when I saw him in Philadelphia. Very nice guy. But did his general manager get the head coach enough good players? Absolutely not. Did Mike Tannenbaum in Miami, who was with the Jets and got fired, did he get enough talent there? Absolutely not. The Buffalo Bills, did they get enough talent? Absolutely not. Do all of them keep changing coaches and changing players and with the same result? That actually, if a Patriots team this year, as long as they have Brady and Belichick, they're really competitive. But let's say they had to play in one of these other divisions. Let's say they had to play in the black and blue division with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and even, believe it or not, the pathetic Browns who are coming around with Baker Mayfield. Suppose all these years that they weren't in this division. Would they still have success? Yes. But would they be going to 10 straight playoffs for the first round bye? God, no. It wouldn't happen. So, again, it's not a knock. I'm just trying to bring to you the reality of what it really is like and what is really going on here, because it's going to come home to roost.
We're talking with Upton Bell here on Downtown. So overall, yeah, the ratings are up, but competitively, the product that's out there on the field, how would you grade the state of the National Football League these days?
About a C+. And the reason is this. Now, for the league, they're going to say competitive balance. Look at the playoffs this year. Look at, we've got new teams, other teams have been out for a while or coming back in. But the reason that I would say, Rich, that I give the Patriots a chance is every team that's in the playoffs has real flaws. The most complete team, and we'll just take the AFC, to me, and you never know what you're going to get with them, is the San Diego Chargers. They have a great quarterback. They have really good receivers. They have running backs. They have good offensive line. They have a defense that can rush the passer. But you never know what you're going to get with them. You know, they come out and make a great gamble and beat Kansas City at the end of the season. And then they turn around and were terrible against the Ravens. So you have them. You have the Ravens that might have the best defense in the league. They have a young running quarterback. Their defense, their offense is okay, but they have to rely on defense and winning 10-6. They could be the worst. Then you have Houston. Again, never really won the big one, but they have a very dangerous quarterback in Deshaun Watson and a pretty damn good defense. But if they came up here in the first round, would it be the same thing? So the team that you better watch out for that has really come on is the Indianapolis Colts. Mm. The quarterback there, who Josh McDaniels, and here's why I think, by the way, McDaniels has made the decision not to take that job and to stiff those poor coaches he hired, was he never thought the quarterback would ever be the same again when he missed a year and his arm was was not very good, but,
right.
but he is back. And I can tell you, he can make every type of throw. Any one of those quarterbacks are going to be a real danger to this Patriot defense. But again, I haven't seen so many teams come into the playoffs that are very flawed.
Upton, I got the sense from social media you've had enough of the bowl games for this year or maybe any other year.
My God, I was going to address that when we first came on. Have you ever seen anything more ridiculous, more dangerous? And if I'm a player at all that has a chance at the NFL, unless I'm one of those four teams in that playoff, why would I ever want to play a bowl game? It's only to fatten the bank accounts of these schools, and these coaches. Of course, they're not going to get injured, but you've seen coaches take off even before a bowl game to run to another job. So any player that thinks that he has a chance that isn't in that top four, I would say to them, be my guest. Don't play in the game. I've seen too many players that had great futures that were injured in these bowl games. The other thing is they mean nothing. Why would anybody watch them?
I wanted to ask you. You mentioned coaches too, and the situation with Miami last week. I would say it's unbelievable, but we've almost come to expect it. Manny Diaz, who had left to take the Temple job, was there for less than 2 weeks, and then decides to go back to Miami after he's implored recruits to stay there. Well, those recruits are now stuck, but he's able to take the big paycheck and go back to Miami.
I am so cynical about college football. In some ways, some of the games are better to watch than the pros. For instance, the Alabama-Georgia game, of which Georgia should have won and should be in the top four. But I think that the one thing about the NFL is you're a hired Hessian, you get paid, you know, it's right out in the open. What do you get for playing college football? Tell me. And the biggest phonies are the athletic directors, but the coaches are the worst. They preach about the players and their loyalty to their school and everything else like that, but the minute another job comes along, they're gone. At least in the pros, that Josh McDaniels is out there, you know, looking at every type of job possible. I expect that. That's the only reason they're in it. But by the way, I believe Urban Meyer will be back in spite of that that phony interview yesterday. I look for the Notre Dame's great coach, supposedly. You don't think Kelly isn't going to look at Miami and some of these other places? I understand that Jacksonville and Tampa are both interested in him. Why? I don't know.
Good question.
Upton, away from football, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about a movie you saw, because it's one I'm looking forward to seeing. Sounds like you were very impressed with If Beale Street Could Talk.
Well, I was a great admirer going back of one of the great writers who wrote the book that's based on, James Baldwin. Yeah. And his life was so painful. He was African American. He was gay in the 40s and 50s, and eventually had to go and live in Paris. But he wrote these achingly beautiful stories about what the black experience was like. And this is a very subtle, sad, beautiful look at New York in the 70s, Harlem, Beale Street, and how African American families had to survive. The whole thing was against them with the police and everything else like that. But the only time, Rich, I've been in a theater where at the end nobody got up, and there were people in tears. It's not an easy movie to see, but anybody who wants to understand what it is like to be African-American should see that movie.
Upton Bell, it is always a treat for us to talk with you. If you haven't read his wonderful book, Present at the Creation, make sure you get your hands on that. As always, thank you so much for making time for us.
Happy New Year to all of you, and thank you.